Well, most of you know my son Ryan. I think he's out with the teenagers. No? Someone else is? Okay. Where are you, Ryan? Oh, he's in the cry room. That's the way to go, Kimberly. The husband in the cry room. Yay! Most of you know my son Ryan, who has been working as a FIFO on the Chevron Wheatstone project up in Onslow for over a decade now, isn't it? Over a decade. In the early days, his FIFO shift was awful. It was something like 4 weeks on, 1 week off. Thankfully, his shift is much better now, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And it certainly needed to be, with a beautiful wife and 4 kids under the age of 9 missing him and eagerly waiting for him to come back home. It's such a lovely greeting the children give him when he comes. The hang off all over his body, you know, that Desmond was telling me about it. It's very exciting. But when Ryan first went up to Onslow for work, long before the days of our YouTube service videos, and they're wonderful, aren't they? Hi to everybody watching online today. He found the experience up at Onslow to be pretty lonely in the area of Christian fellowship. And I was concerned for him as his mum, because my kids' spiritual welfare has always been of utmost importance to me. No matter how old they are, I care about their spiritual welfare. All my children know this well. So I guess to encourage me personally, one Sunday morning, just before our church service, my thoughtful son, Ryan, who was up at Onslow at the time, sent me a very simplistic photo via Messenger of a single bread roll on a small plate next to a lonely glass of wine with the caption, "Communion for One." Communion for One. Now, when I first looked at the photo, I was really glad that my son was taking communion, because I knew that in doing this, he was remembering the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, this is what communion calls us to do, to remember Jesus. And that's always good. Remember Jesus. Don't ever, ever, ever forget Jesus. Remember him in every season of life, Jesus. However, as I continued to look at the picture and the caption, "Communion for One," there was something niggling me. Something wasn't quite right. And it began to dawn on me that I was reading an oxymoron. Everyone knows what an oxymoron is, right? Let's all think back to our school days, to those boring English classes. What did the teacher say an oxymoron was? No, it's not a hyperventilating stupid person. That's good, isn't it? I thought of that on Tuesday. I thought, gee, that's a good one. An oxymoron is a combination of contradictory words like awfully good, deafening silence, or organized chaos. It's a figure of speech in which contradictory words appear together. Put simply, it's a sentence with a contradiction, like "communion for one." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we as Christians are never alone. For you have told us in Exodus 14, verse 14, that you will never leave us or forsake us. And because you have made this promise, then it's a guarantee for those who know you as Saviour. Thank you for always being there for us. But Father, help us to truly grasp and obey the true meaning of Christian communion as we partake of it this day. Amen. Amen. Communion for one. Well, firstly, I guess we must ask, what exactly is the meaning of communion? After all, it's been central to the worshipping life of Christians way back to the very beginning of Christianity. Remember, Jesus himself established this new way of remembrance when he first shared communion with his disciples just before his death and resurrection, roughly 2,000 years ago. In Mark 14, verses 22 to 26, it says, and I want you to really pay attention to this scripture. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the agreement, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the cup until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. What a beautiful little ceremony. Jesus intimately shared communion with his most loved disciples as they were happily eating, singing, and fellowshipping together. And here we are, City View Church, his most loved disciples, just like all Christians are, in 2022, regularly partaking communion. This beautiful ceremony established by Jesus in such a casual setting, it was a casual setting, continues today right the way around the world. Millions upon millions of Christians will be partaking of communion today. But what are we really doing? Yes, we are remembering Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, Jesus tells us to drink the cup in remembrance of him. That's a given. But there is so much more to this beautiful gathering than many Christians may see. And I believe the Western Church is really struggling with this, particularly since the COVID pandemic, when church went online and many people have chosen for church to stay online, watching it from home, instead of moving back into fellowship. We need to understand the depth of the importance of communion. Eve, do you have that next paragraph there? Would you please? No, it's not that I can see. You don't have the next? Okay, I'll read it. Listen to me, everybody. We haven't got it up there. The word communion comes from the King James Bible translation of the Greek word for sharing, which Paul used in 1 Corinthians 11 when describing taking of bread and wine as the body and blood of Christ. The Latin root word is communis, meaning participation by all or sharing something together. The same root word is used for the words common, community, and communicate. Communion literally means sharing. Communion literally means sharing. Now, putting it simply, but this may come as a shock to some people, to share something means that you need more than one person in the picture. I will say it again. To share something means that you need more than one person in the picture. It's impossible to share if you're on your own. And that's why I choose to eat chocolate on my own, so I don't have to share. Come on, you've done it too. Who's eaten it in the pantry and closed the door behind them? Or you put it in your mouth and you come into the room and pretend that there's nothing in your mouth. You've done that, haven't you? Yeah. We don't share chocolate. So we try and have it on our own. Try and have it before the husband comes home. Communion, the sharing of the bread and wine, is supposed to bring everyone in the church together as one body to remember Jesus and what he has done for us. The Bible tells us in Romans and Ephesians and Colossians that Jesus Christ is seen as the head and we, the church, are his body. We're the hands of Jesus. We're the feet of Jesus. We're the eyes of Jesus. We're the mouth of Jesus. We're the ears of Jesus. We are his body here on earth. Communion, the sharing of the bread and wine, is supposed to bring everyone in the church together as one body to remember Jesus and what he has done for us. Now listen to me. Here's another powerful statement. A body that has been chopped up and scattered afar is unable to function. Let's be practical here. A disconnected body that has been chopped up and scattered afar means that it is dead. It's dead. But a body in one piece has more chance of being alive. And if it's eating, then we know it's definitely alive because dead bodies don't eat, correct? This is really powerful stuff, everyone. Communion is absolutely necessary for the health of the church. We must come together and remember Jesus together by sharing bread and the cup together, which reminds us of the sacrifice he made. And as we remember, we check ourselves individually and make sure our lives are pleasing to him. You don't check the person next to you during communion. Yeah, well, my husband needs to shape up, I'm telling you. You don't check the person next to you. You check yourself, your own heart. During this observance called communion, if you've done something wrong, you put it right there and then. If you're holding an offense, you let it go. And let's face it, most offenses happen with people you interact with, often in the church. If you're jealous, you deal with it during communion. If you're angry, you give it to Jesus. If you need to forgive someone, particularly in the church, you do it before you share the bread and wine with the person you need to forgive. We remember Jesus and deal with our sin as we take communion together, with emphasis on together. And by the way, remembering Jesus and fellowshipping with Christians at the same time is the best incentive to deal with your sin. It really is. It's the best incentive. How many of you have gone to church angry with your spouse or child, and by the time you've taken communion, you've got over it. You've dealt with it. It's really hard to hold a grudge when you're looking at Jesus. It really is. I've tried it, and it's awful. You just can't. But I really want to be mad with that person. They deserve my angry, but you're looking at Jesus, and you've got to forgive them. You got to forgive them, because if you hold on to it, it makes you a hypocrite. And we all know how Jesus feels about hypocrites. Jesus does not like hypocrites. Sharing with the body of Christ, sharing with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is of paramount importance for our spiritual health. I've heard countless people in my life tell me, even me as a pastor, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. How can people tell me that as a pastor? Go figure. Why would they tell me that? You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But let me tell you, and I can say this because I'm up here behind the pulpit, you'd be a pretty weird Christian if you didn't. A little like people who become hermits. Hermits are not socially healthy people, and neither are lonesome Christians. We need each other. We wouldn't have anyone to forgive if we weren't together. Was Jesus a hermit? No, he certainly was not. And we are called to be just like him. This is why Jesus established communion. God made us to be social creatures. In Genesis 2 verse 18, God said that it is not good for man, that man should be alone. God said that. So if you have a problem with it, go discuss it with him. He said it. Your brain slows down when you're alone. I know that because when the grandkids come over, it's like, whoa, oh, I've got to start thinking fast again. You're more susceptible to depression when you're alone. That's what COVID did to a lot of people locked in their homes. It was awful. Yes. You stop caring about others when you're alone. You can become selfish and uncaring about your Christian brothers and sisters who may be doing it tough. You wouldn't know because you don't talk to them because you're alone. You can become extremely judgmental and intolerant of the church. The longer you stay away, the more judgmental you become. God can't talk to you through other Christians when you're alone. Why would you need any gifts from the Spirit of God if you're not in the church to use them? You don't need them. Why would you need the fruit of the Spirit? You know, the love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, all of that. If you're not in the church to use them. If you're not hanging around people, you need to forgive. Communion? Communion for one? No. Communion is meant for the church to share together, to remember Jesus together and put things right. I'm happy to say that not long after that lonely photo Ryan sent all those years ago, my son found a lovely group of Christians on the Wheatstone Project to share communion with. And I was most pleased when he sent me another photo of him preparing communion for his new Christian friends. We're going to partake of the emblems of communion soon, but we're doing things a little differently today. We've left our worship time for the end of the service, so I'd like the musicians to come up. And before we have bread and have the grape juice, we're going to worship Jesus. Get our hearts ready for the communion, all right? And then after we've worshipped, we're going to take communion together. And there's a lot. I thought we're going to do this substantially this morning. We've got a roll. We've got real grapefruit juice. We're going to really fellowship with it today. But before we do, let's just worship Jesus with these beautiful songs. Good idea? Yes. Okay, so it's not a long service, but give it everything you've got. Why don't you, even if you don't even know Jesus, if you don't think anything about God, today just allow yourself to look at the words of these songs and think about Jesus. Think about him today. And I'm so glad you've brought the children in. That's great. That's really good. That's really good. Okay, children, we're going to, or the teenagers, we're going to be singing some worship songs, just two, and then we're going to take communion together. And I would like you to concentrate on Jesus as we do. Can you do that for us? Cool. Let us all stand together.